I'm a little hot. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
The proximity effect. Proximity effect. Oh. Repita después de mí. Proximity.
I took Spanish for like 8 years and I have no idea. None.
Oh, it's such a good language. It's like the guitar of languages. You can just pick it up in a weekend.
Don't even.
How about that
me.
Picture of my mother-in-law at Smith in the mid-50s? How cool is that?
Oh, God, I don't want to.
Isn't she hot?
It's going to both make me. I didn't say it. I didn't
oh,
say
yeah,
it.
It's I okay.
Didn't say it. God, so hot. Oh, my God.
She looks so much like one particular sister-in-law of mine in this picture that it's kind of scary.
Well, that's upsetting.
Hi, everybody. Alex and I are sending each other pictures of things and designing business cards and just really making a day of it.
Oh, man. I watched that scene in American Psycho way too much. The business card
oh, yeah, of course.
Scene. I'm like, is this healthy? Or rather, how unhealthy is this? Is this
the way he's acting?
Yeah, yeah. How often I enjoy watching it, and I don't know how. I'm just like, ooh, the paper.
Oh, it's so good, and it's got the guy from that TV show I like in it.
He hasn't aged. It's very weird.
He's so handsome. Okay, here's a photo of all. Well, this is a terrible photo, but it's a good picture of Anne. That's the blonde lady in the front.
Oh,
do you see the resemblance at all?
Oh God, it's like a Doctor Who photo where like two people.
They're like little lemon grab family.
Then by
7 kids.
You look like the lemon grab. Oh yeah, beat me. Or not. Six.
It's not a contest, Alex.
Six. Well, when you're. Oh God, they're not even religious, are they? What the heck?
Oh no, no,
wow.
No. They're heathens.
Wow. Just
they don't
just,
even know Bible anecdotes.
Oh, horny heathens, I guess.
And also with you. No, they did. They liked each other very much. As Groucho Marx said, I like my cigar too, but sometimes I take it out of my mouth. That's apocryphal. That's a Dick Cavett story.
I'd like to believe it.
I do too. I do too. He's a funny guy. Now that, in some ways, You Bet Your Life was almost like the original podcast. Because the conceit of it was, I don't know if it was the first game show like this. It started as a radio show, then became a TV show. Forgive me if you know this. But wow, it's 25% humidity in here. That is dry. Whoa. But it started out as, did you ever see You Bet Your Life?
No.
It's a game show. There's Groucho Marx is the host. Oh God, I forget the sidekick's name. He has a side like an announcer, and then
yeah,
two.
I can like picture him. I've never seen it.
He's
but, really like,
he's one of those beefy like back when guys had big chests. Guys would be all big chested.
Oh.
It was the age of emphysema. I love that book. but Groucho. So the announcer would bring out two civilians. They'd stand at their podia, and and there'd be a secret word. And if anybody said the secret word. While during the course of the quote unquote game, this little duck that looks like Groucho Marx would come down and you win $10 or something like that. And the whole show was just Groucho like talking to these people, interviewing them, making fun of them. And that was the show.
It's
kind of the original podcast.
That truly, it was good. I mean, yes, fresh air.
The story goes, the apocryphal story goes, this has never been shown, to my knowledge, to be a true story, but it should be true. As they say on political Twitter, it's too good to fact check. This woman is saying, oh, you married? Yes, I'm married. I've been married to I love my husband very much. We've been married for, 20 years. How many kids do you have? And she has something like fucking 12 kids. And Groucho said, 12 kids, like, to what do you owe, having so many children? And the woman purportedly says, well, my husband and I love each other very much. Big laugh from the crowd. And then Groucho says, well, I love my cigar, but sometimes I take it out of my mouth.
So funny. Cigars, like voices, inherently funny to me. They're just, I mean,
say the secret word and the duck comes down.
Hey, you used to be a big cigar guy, right? Or is
I curate my cigars. I still have a humidor that I maintain, but I don't think I've. Well, no, I buy nice cigars, I used to smoke like a lot. When I was working on the book, like I got into this habit of like being outside, sometimes in the rain with my laptop, smoking a cigar, like under some kind of cover somewhere. But I like Nicaraguans. I mean, I like a Cuban if I can get a real Cuban, but they're pretty hard to get. I like Nicaraguans. I like Padrones. I don't even remember the names of these anymore. There's one I used to make a tri blend that I like a lot. And I don't think I've had a cigar in 6 months, but I'm due.
I haven't had a cigar in about 3 years, four, five. I don't know. The last time I went to a New Year's Eve party, and I don't know any of
them. They get you a little bit high, which is nice.
That's the thing.
I like them real, real strong. This is where I am like your basic bitch is I like, I mean, let me see what I got in here right now.
Oh my God. See, Merlin is a big cigar guy. I was just, hey, Parapals, all those words he said, I'm like, I know the words humidor and Cuban. But
Tatuaje is a really good brand from Miami. This guy was named Pete Johnson. Tatuajes are really good. I've got some of those, a handful. I've got some very fancy, I think, 45th anniversary Padrones. The ones I really like, they're still expensive, but they're really good, are the Oliva, I think they're called like Triple Blend or something. They're really good. Yeah, no, but basically this is just, you know, I become like one of those guys that buys guitars but can't play guitar. Like I've had these same cigars, and then, you know, they get mellow over time. They mellow out a little bit in the humidor. So, yeah, but yeah. And then I changed my humidifiers.
The answer to that was a hard yes. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm just, I'm missing my pal. He's not like dead. He just,
Who died?
A big, I was just thinking about my pal who's a big whiskey and cigar boy. Like very, it's so funny. He's
is
like
he a piece
of
shit?
No, exactly. I was about
Most
to say,
cigar guys are a piece of shit. We eventually discover. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the exact opposite. And one New Year's Eve, it's like, Alex, come have a cigar. Have you ever had a cigar? Come have a cigar with us, with the men. And I was like, yes. Jokingly, everyone calm down. No, the only reason I say that is because literally the opposite of somebody you would think is a cigar guy.
Because like you look at like Rush Limbaugh, Jimmy Savile, that the guy who was the child molester on British TV. There's so many people, Bill Cosby, Bill Clinton.
Well, at least he used it well.
Hi-oh! You know, the export taxes are reduced if you use it as a marital aid. Tastes good.
But I didn't know that, like, and so there's like, you know, like eight of us hipsters smoking cigars outside, and none of us had, and we're like, oh my God, this is this drug? What the fuck?
Well, I mean, some people get very, very ill, just feel so sick from it. But again, this is one of those things where I'm so sensitive to so many things in this world, this veil of tears. There's so many things to which my body or my mind are very sensitive, but that's not one of them for me, at least. Tobacco is not a problem for me. Well, that's a dumb way to put it. I'm not advocating for this, but they're really good. And, you know, and it's kind of fun because like it used to be like this with weed where, you know, it's like kind of a ritual and there's a sharing experience. And whenever I used to travel, I would always, before I travel, you know me. I made a portfolio for myself before I ever went anywhere. Where are restaurants that are open all night? Where are ATMs? And I try and find a cigar lounge within walking distance because you meet really interesting people at a cigar lounge.
Oh God, that's so, yeah.
You can pretty much guarantee they all voted for Trump or would vote for Trump in the future. But I do like them, but I don't do it as much. And you know, they're real stinky. And when the baby was a baby, like we were so nervous/careful about like avoiding, you know, no screens, No testosterone. Like avoid all. For a while, I was on testosterone to try and help my ADHD. I had to put this cream on my shoulders, and obviously it didn't take. But but like, you know, because we co-slept, and like that became like a big deal of like, don't want the baby. Ooh, interesting. I just piqued my own interest. Huh. Well, I was just about to come up with a quack theory about why my weird kids the way they're weird.
I was going to say that would be illegal for you to do if you were in Texas. Now in Florida, if you wanted to have your testosterone cream, it would be like you'd have to fill out a lot of forms.
That letter, I just saw it. And even by, you know, Greg Abbott and modern Republican standards, it was shocking to me. Fucking so this piece of shit is the governor of Texas. Just was it an executive order, but basically is trying to create this Stasi or Gestapo for trans people. You can like report trans children, and you can then
you have to by the letter of the law, you must report and then them.
Their parents might be like investigated because their kid is trans.
Yep.
It's, and yet men sit down and pee all the time, racistly. Sorry, I was trying to do a drill thing there.
Almost got there.
Boy, is that ever shitty. No, what was it? Like Bank of America still hasn't fixed my account, and yet teens continue to go to the prom racistly or something like that. Boy, is that ever shitty.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's nothing, it's probably not nothing, but even if it is nothing, like, wow, what an odd thing to want your name on.
It's well, and that's the thing is these are like conversations that because they happen like behind, it's not like a secret, but like usually they only happen like with queer people. It's like, okay, the don't say gay bill, is it like actually going to hurt people, or is this just an election? Is this just because just what's his name?
Ron DeSantis.
Thank you. Yeah. Or is this just
there was a really good TBD. There's a very good episode of I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a really good TBD. I want to say last week that was about the title was a little misleading, but the title of the episode was something like, you know, auditions to be Trump's next protege or something like that. But it was really just all about Ron DeSantis and how.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How he's in this really weird position where Trump is mad at him because Trump feels like he made him and he hasn't said he definitely won't run in 2024. But yeah, it was just basically about how Ron DeSantis is especially weaponizing the word woke, where he's using it, and it's kind of like a stop trying to make fetch happen thing, where he just keeps calling everything woke as his like catch-all, like this is bad thing. And then he came up with legislation where he made woke into some kind of an acronym.
Yeah.
Like war on kids and elderly or something like that.
Yes.
A really good episode. I continue to recommend TBD. What Next? And What Next TBD is their tech edition on Mondays and Fridays. But What Next on Slate is really good. If you like The Daily, but you can only handle so much Barbaro. Oh, Barbaro.
I don't want to call him a hypocrite, but he sure did cheat on... I'm sorry. It's personal lives of people. But no. Hmm. Okay. I am now a Slate member. I'm glad that they had that sale. Well, because they had that sale, and it's like, why are you... a subscriber now, and it was like sale.
Get ready to re-log in a lot. It's no Daily Beast, but it's up there, and it 1Password doesn't work on it, which drives me
God, every time I ended up just putting the fire hose feed in, so I think that's why I sometimes miss
stuff. I think I told you about my project to unhook from the fire hose feed.
But then I feel like the other ones break. But maybe it's because I'm just on the...
I mean, the fire hose is fine. I just got into this thing where I like... It took me probably a year of this one behavior before I really caught how much it annoyed me. But I was spending a little bit of time, maybe not every day, but like three, four times a week, just deleting dozens of podcast episodes. And it's like, you know, I just... didn't make me happy. But yeah, anyway, yeah, but really, really shitty. I don't know what's going to happen, but God, do we need more shittiness right now? What I mean, why would you put these, why do you turn these kids who are just, they're kids, they're how they are. And it's like, and you know, I don't know, maybe I'm biased, but.
I think you're hitting on something of like the just kids, the way that at least how I've come to understand it, talking with people who used to think the DeSantis way, it's like, oh, they're just kids. So the belief truly is like, oh, they'll grow out of this. Like, it's fine. They're not going to, it's not going to hurt them.
No. Like it's a tattoo or something.
That's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. And the scary thing
and
about Texas.
Their parents have played along with this charade that is not only not really a thing, but if it is a thing, it's a thing that, as we discussed previously, that you're just doing to make me mad and to screw up the tribe. And you're gonna create these monsters. Everybody knows by now, anybody we now say, I say queer as sort of a, I'm not going to use letters. I'm not going to pronounce letters. That's not going to happen. But like, you know, if you're somebody who's outside of the cis straight spectrum, you must be either you're insane, an enemy of the state, a future criminal, or maybe all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
look how you made me feel. Now I'm so mad. I'm so mad that like I'm gonna go write a letter about it. And there was this kid. I forget where I read this. I saw the headline and just glanced at the article, but it was this. I always get this wrong. Trans girl who was in high school and was like testifying to some kind of a like maybe. A committee somewhere, but just saying, look, I just want to play sports.
I saw this one.
Yeah. Just like, does this have to be like a whole thing? I just want to play sports. I want to play sports as the person who I am, not the person you want me to pretend to be is how I would put it.
The wildness of that video really encapsulated like how I think that
a video of the kid doing
because we're talking about like the little blonde kid, like she's a fucking baby. Like
Oh God, really?
And there's a number of these videos.
Yes.
And this, essentially said the same thing of like, I want to play soccer again because she had a lot of these places where the laws are being passed, these kids are playing on playing on the girls team or playing on the boys team, and no one fucking cares except maybe like a few psycho parents who like write a letter, and then
I don't know if that's exactly the right way to use it, but sort of concern trolling, like it's not safe for this to happen, it's not safe for this criminal child to be doing this, and you know, it's this guy got cut out of last week's anarchic episode. Unfortunately, I said some really nice and very touching things that got cut out, but I'll repeat it here unless you guys decide to cut it out again. Monsters. But like, you have to ask yourself, making my point, when you went away from the microphone and then you stopped doing the episode and started doing another project, and then eventually you came back and we tried to like pick it back up and it didn't work. But the thing, this might have made some of this might have made it, but like the way I look at it right now, at least based on what I know and understand and feel today, it's that, you know, there's a great American project for people to be given leeway to figure out who they are. And not simply who they think they are, not simple, but like, you know, are you going to, the example I used, I think we talked about JFK or like Carnegie, people who come here as really disrespected minorities or pseudo minorities. You know, if you're from the UK and you're not English, like you're a garbage person. But anyway, and they get to figure who they are, and that's like I'm rich and successful. But like the thing I was trying to tease out was the like, what are the stakes of you undertaking a project to figure out who you are, let alone to implement, or as Max would say, operationalize a plan for once you've realized who you are, not just making up some like, you know, I've decided I'm an attack helicopter, but like a real thing. Like, this is who I am. This is me now, as Gene would say. This is me now. But, you know, it's just that the stakes for figuring that out have always been very, very high. And even beginning, I'm not telling you anything, you don't know a thousand times better than me, but like, why can't we respect the idea that now that the stakes of that are not quite as grave as they used to be, is it really surprising that more kids are gay, or that more kids are trans, or that more kids are ace, or whatever it is? I think the thing that the point we keep missing as old people is that because those stakes are not as grave as they used to be, it's not that it's easy to undertake that journey, but it's that, I mean, I don't know. Like, people can fly now, and so they want to take vacations. That was not possible a year ago. Again, sort of Overton window-ish thing. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, if you, and you say, oh my God, it seems like all these kids now are trans. And it's like, well, are they trans? A lot of them are, and a lot of them just don't care as much as you do. Like, you came up with a name for whatever this person is, but, and they may have a very strong idea about what they are. You know, are you a mod or a rocker? But like, it's just that, like, I don't think we improve the country, the culture, the human life by constantly wanting to increase the stakes to make it scarier or make it scary again, because you feel a little bit uncomfortable about something that's unfamiliar. Talk about weaponizing. Fuck.
Yeah. I don't know why that was cut. Well, anyway, that was beautiful. I am God,
it might not
so
have. It might not have.
Today.
But yeah, I didn't get to the part where I busted a gut, so I just wanted to bust the gut this week.
No, that's true. Like
I'll have more to say about this, just not yet. Not yet. I'll have more to say about this, but
one.
But you know,
well,
I've told you.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I've told you. Like it continues to be very dark, but very true that I did not expect anyway to live until I was 30, let alone be happy and married. That was fucking insane even in 2010. Like, that is how
yes, and that's why I said the potentially very controversial thing that I think is true, which is that subsequent generations of minorities, people who are treated like shit or just aggrieved persons, tends to, in America, build on the legacy of what came before. And that is very frustrating. Like, for example, I think there are very conservative African-American people who, on the one hand, might have, their family's been very involved in the civil rights battle, but they don't like that same, they may not like that same idea being applied to gay people. Where, again, in that culture, historically, this is why we have the term the down low, is like, it's not okay to be gay if you're a black man in a lot of African-American culture, right? But like, what things that were learned from the civil rights struggle got applied to women and feminism, or what we called women's lib. It got up, you know, queer people, like, think about ACT UP. Think about, you know, all of that. Like, each subsequent generation that has a struggle to be recognized as fully human builds on what came before them. But by the same token, like, my family, who I have described as business casual racist, they weren't burning crosses, but they were very racist, most of my family. I mean, actively very racist. Not as in like, oh, you say the N-word as a joke, but as in like, on a much more problematic level, really did believe. I mean, my grandfather is from South America. His family's from London. He's from South America. And he absolutely thought black people were lesser than. They were maybe the least of them. Like, but like, so what do? You say like, oh, you end up saying shit like, oh, you know, I just don't like the kind that are uppity, or I don't like the kind who don't know their place, or they overstep, which is really just a slightly more developed. It's just a slightly less barbaric version of, we're going to hang you, we're going to lynch you because we claim you looked at a white woman. Like, if you know your place, you know, like, if you're my maid and you don't steal, like, that's cool. And then I think in the 80s and 90s, at least in my circles, that became, oh, you know, my best friend in high school, his aunt, it was hilarious. She and her friend lived together, had the same haircut, her lady friend, who was a friend, just a friend. They lived together. They bought a house together. They ran a preschool together. They always had exactly the same haircut. All of the dumb, lame old jokes about the gays. Nobody ever talked about it, except in the most hushed of tones. But that's where you get to like, oh, I hate gay people, but I love Aunt Jo's friend. Mm-hmm. Like everybody's mm-hmm. got their token gay that mm-hmm. they actually, you know, there are good ones out there. Oh, there's this one fella at work that's just so funny, but really he's not allowed to be human. I'm glad that he entertains me in a way that many of the gay do not, but I'm not really ready to recognize that he's the same species as me. Stakes. There's stakes to all this stuff.
That there's that Simpsons episode with the
John Waters
antique, yeah. And I think about that so much because my dad was Homer. He did
where
not
it like rubs
get...
off on Bart, and Bart becomes like a colorful.
Yeah. Yep. And it's like he's fancy. And God,
so funny.
Like my. This is my like Runex list of words we need to change or things that need a name.
This would be your words and usage I dislike.
Well, transphobia is, it's like, okay, do you not understand? Do you just hate trans people? Or
that's that trans, but like the phobia thing we bitch about, that's true for everything. Like, even like anti-Semitic really doesn't really get to the full point of what we're talking about here. Like, mm-hmm, it's one thing to say like, oh, I don't mind having a Jew as an accountant, but it's not like I would go start a pogrom, but like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But yeah, phobia, we do need a better name. That's going on my list too.
Well, and but it's also, at least for me, I guess, an attempt to humanize people who are genuinely afraid and could be queer themselves. And it is just the fear, because like you said, lots of kids just care way less, or there are fewer stakes because they're in a blue state or their parents are cool. And versus like my parents growing up extremely homophobic, because in the way I think of it, of being terrified that one of us was gay.
Terrified, not anti-gay, but homophobic.
Because knew how hard it would be, and luckily times change, and they figured out how gay I was before me.
They really did want the best. They wanted what they thought was the best for you, which was leading a life unencumbered or uncomplicated by being a permanent outsider.
Mm-hmm. And because they see it saw it as also like that being that it truly being, quote, a lifestyle, and some
or like, you know, sexual preference, or you're making a choice, you know, all that kind of rhetoric.
Well, and also that it would define everything about you as a person, because they were like, there is the fear of like, I mean, the trope is always like, mom and dad, it's still me. And the idea of like, I was lying to them. Like, I am not this nerd who loves books, and like, I am just a big secret. And that is still a big fear for parents, even if they are like cool with one of their kids being well, like
it's hard because, you know, and I don't want to say too much, but like, also it feels like your kid's being perfidious, because you're like, hey, you're, you know, it's bad enough that you're not the baby that I liked, you're becoming a different person, you're becoming more of yourself every day, whether anyone likes it or not. That's what being a human is becoming more of yourself every day, whether you like it or not. But it's just that it feels disloyal, because you feel like, oh, not only are you no longer this baby that I could manage and dress, and I could put a fucking Ramones shirt on, even though you don't know what the Ramones are. I used to be like so critical to your thriving. And like now on top of you're first of all, I get this surprise attack that you're not the person I thought you were in terms of gender or sexual orientation. But like, you know, and when that happens as your kid is growing up anyway, I think it's kind of double difficult.
Mm-hmm. It will.
But you know, you're not doing it because you're hateful usually, you know, unless you're that dad on Dope Sick.
Oh boy, that guy. But I mean, this is sort of something people disagree on, calling like saying that you're mourning your child if they come out as trans or queer, and which I don't know, like, I'm not surprised, not a parent, but at least mine, it's not that they mourned us growing up, but you know, it is like a, you know, going off to college, and it's, you're kind of mourning a child, for them at least. It was like, you know, you're different people. And then, yeah, on top of, I don't know, it feels strange to tell parents how to, like, what their feelings, not what their feelings should be, because I do think you should still love your kids no matter what, but like what their feelings even are, like I don't know, like
well, I mean, there's a lot of, I think, okay, here's another, by the way, I think my lunch is going to arrive in a bit, so I might have to just go to the door for a second, but like I say, I don't think it's most of the, I hope it's not willful. I hope it's not. Mm-hmm. And again, mm-hmm. I think about Dope Sick so often, but you know, the way, I think about that show, you know, a lot. And poor, what's her name? The actress I like, Deaver. What's her name? Deaver.
I do not know Booksmart? The Booksmart. Name, but
I know her name. I know her name, and I'm forgetting it. Caitlin Deaver. Love her. But it's that, I do feel like that woundedness has a factor in it. That woundedness of like, you're trying to pull a fast one on me, but then, I mean, that gets salted and peppered with all of this. Like, oh, are you just doing this to appear different? Are you doing this to be cool? You know, and et cetera, all these kinds of things. But there's a lot of things in life that not just parents, but everybody, you think, but you don't say. Or you wonder about, but you don't mm-hmm. ask. There's just a bunch mm-hmm. of ideas that float around in your head. So when stuff, to borrow a phrase, you know, when you end up accidentally telling on yourself, a Kinsley error, I think it's called, you accidentally said the truth. It's because sometimes it's just an inchoate sort of feeling, or a gander, a guess, and like, it's just that when that comes out and you hear it in the air, hopefully you realize how shitty it sounds. And mm-hmm. it might make you wish that you'd interrogated that earlier or with more humanity. But I do think that like one problem, and maybe I don't want to just blame this on social media or Trump, but one problem is that, you know, we used to have our inside voice and our outside voice. There's things I would say to you or to Syracuse or, you know, a lot of my friends that I would not say publicly. I think having slacks where you can say objectionable things is a good idea. I think it's nice. I think we shouldn't. I think the corollary of that is I should always pretend that I've never had a thought that Big Brother wouldn't like. Well, that sucks. But it's just that when it comes out, you know, right now it's so easy for your inside voice to go outside, and then you end up maybe like connecting up with other people who have outside voice problems. Mm-hmm. And like what used to be the kind of like internal casual shittiness of Americans really has been not just weaponized, but like now there's an organizing effort behind so much of that shittiness. Mm-hmm. And that's because, like, you know, when you feel vulnerable, I'm trying to be empathetic here. When you feel vulnerable, you feel abandoned, you feel, you know, left behind, whether that's because you didn't get a good coal mining job, or because you found your kid wearing a dress or whatever, like you want to find common cause with people who are aggrieved in a similar way. And that's happening at a scale and breadth right now that's kind of shocking.
I think it's interesting that it is shocking to you, not in a how dare you.
I do live in a bubble. Even in the literally empirically most conservative neighborhood in San Francisco, No, I mean, it is still a bubble. You wouldn't, you don't see a lot of like people throwing shit from pickup trucks at people holding hands or whatever.
Yeah, well, and that's not to say, I mean, I remember the first time, I should find the episode, but I did a show with my pal James T. Green, and it was just it was called Refresh. It was such a good name, and I wasted it. But I would say things on that show.
I hope he doesn't hear this.
Wait, why?
Wasted it on him.
No. I mean, we were, no. Like, he, as in, like, the two... No, it should be the name of another show.
He
came up with the name. I'm canceled again. But I said things on that
show.
Use
your inside voice.
Where he was like, I would say things and he's like, oh, dude, no, that is not a cool thing to say. Like, I don't even remember. But I would like say things that were like, not even like microaggressions, but just like the whitest thing to say, or like not making light of, but not... really saying something that didn't fully realize the gravity of slavery. And he would just be like, because it was a podcast and because we only had like a few hundred listeners or whatever, he'd be like, oh dude, and vice versa with whatever. He's such a sweetheart. He never said problematic
things. I wish
things.
You would do that with me, but privately. Make me better in private. I don't want to improve in public. I got enough of that shit on my plate. But please tutor me. Please explain things to me.
It feels like I because of social media, it like that happened to be technically a public conversation we were having, but podcasts used to feel so much, they still feel intimate to me, but they felt so much more infinite. It's learning in public is supposed to be shameful or embarrassing now.
Oh, right. Oh, you know what? That's when you say that, and I think, oh my gosh, you're right. That's so obvious, but it's so obvious that it needs to be said. Is that like, and again, because I think partly because of the admonishment to never be a hypocrite. And that is, talk about weaponized, that's my phrase of this week, I guess. But the way that we try to, or we've decided that our purpose in life is going to be trying to harm the credibility of strangers by amplifying whatever's not their best day. I need to go get my delivered food. I'll be back in 10 seconds. Talk to our listeners.
Yeah, no. Hey, pair of pals. I get to talk to you again. It's nice to visit with you. And hey, seriously, thank you so much for supporting the show. It means a lot because, you know, I go on and on about, you know, the gays and the transness. But, you know, even with insurance, the hormones and gender affirming surgery is really fucking expensive. And even if I did sell all of my iPads, it probably wouldn't be enough.
What did you, I'm but, back. I left my door open because it's hot in here. What did you tell our listeners?
I was just sucking up to them and thanking all of them for their money. And then I realized I used a phrase, gender affirming surgery, which is a very new phrase. And that I bet some people are like, wait, what? And that used to be called
confirmation.
Gender confirmation surgery.
I mean, when I was a kid, you called it sex change.
Sex change, right? Yeah. And
sex change.
I've seen people. Well, no, and I've seen so
sex
many people.
Sex change sounds like a swingers club. Come on into the sex change. Put your keys in the bowl. Steven's waiting for you. At the sex change.
I just.
Trying to make a pun on exchange, but it didn't quite work out.
Well, I mean, I just still see people, not every day, because I'm much better with Twitter now, but like being yelled at for like, oh, it is not a sex change. And it's like, okay, well, no, but like, how would that person know that if like, it's the good faith situation.
Right. But it's also the same way that I think being a kid is about rehearsing life. Kids rehearse life on you. Because they can do it without getting their ass kicked, and they're trying things on and all that kind of stuff. It's just that, like, when you get to that point where you feel like there's an sort of like, you know, again, like the guy who's always getting a makeover on Queer Eye, who doesn't know what to call Jonathan. Like, well, you can just call him Jonathan. It's okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but like the admonishment to like, sure, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to look dumb. I don't want to be hurtful. You know, it would be so much easier if I could just surround myself with people who don't want to worry about this either, which on the face of it seems like, oh, how's that any different than a bowling team? Except that if you're really just amplifying each other's incuriosity about the world, that doesn't turn out great, at least in a learned person.
No, yeah, and I am not talking about just wanting a break from the straits, as you people.
Mm-hmm. But I call us breeders. I self-identify as a breeder. My pronouns are I and me. I really like that. I think I'm going to go with that.
That's very good.
How about this? My pronouns are me, I, and me. That's kind of funny. Because I'm so self-involved.
Me, I, and me. Oh, no, hat on a hat. I don't know.
Yeah, because I like myself so much. I like myself so much. I said me twice.
I like me and I. Me too.
My pronouns are the king and I.
Oh, man.
Okay, wow, let's pick a challenge. I want to eat this food and...
I want McDonald's so bad right now.
Chicken McDonald's.
I'm gonna... Oh, and I want to read... Oh, Interlude... I did rewatch Interlude 1 from the first season of Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah.
God, that can be its
own
show.
Uncle Baby
so
Billy's.
Good.
That my kid watches that and it's just like, I want all of these clothes. Uncle Baby Billy's outfits from that episode when he gives Jesse the beer. Oh my god!
God! Oh! Challenge! Challenge! I think we can do are due for a media one. Especially since my week is a little bit. This week will be a little bit crazy. So either watching Citizen Kane. Or watching I Think You Should Leave would be great.
Because, you know, I Think You Should Leave is they're all pretty much, except in one case, there's some continuity. They do one funny thing this season with a little bit of continuity.
Oh,
but,
I'll have time to watch the whole thing. I'd be lying to
myself.
Well,
okay, but is it okay if I, can I, oh, I'd like to highlight two that I want to make sure you watch. But
yes.
No, go for it. Well, that's not too much?
No. I just looked at the runtime. It's like 6 hours. And pretending I don't watch 6 hours of TV in a week's insane.
6 hours? No. Season two? What are you talking about?
Wait, see, I Think You Should Leave.
They're like 20 minutes long and there's like six of them.
So it's even less? It's like 3 hours. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they go down pretty easy.
I'm gonna end up watching the first season as well.
This is a show that I you know, Dan makes that joke or not joke about how every time I mention The Big Lebowski or The Aviator, he's like, oh no, I gotta go watch it again. But there are times where just like, because there's just so many I Think You Should Leave catchphrases in use at our house, and you're gonna pick up a whole bunch more pretty quick. Netflix, why do you make this so hard to do? I want information about the thing. I'm using Universal Control to go to an iPad instead, and I'm using a keyboard.
Oh, are you using the... Oh, we didn't get to the keyboard.
Oh, shit, we got to talk about computers.
Oh, my God.
I want to eat next time.
Yeah, eat.
Well,
no,
we could
no,
do
I
we
know.
Could do an emergency episode later. I just want to eat.
No. Go eat. I am hungry. It's 4:30. Oh, I haven't eaten today. That's bad.
Well,
while
I'm here, let me see if I can find these. I'll know pretty quickly. You got to see the one with Dan Flashes. And I Think You Should Leave. No, not Images. Oh, I know why that happened. Because currently, right now, I've used keyword search to say the word I means look for images. Oh, that's dumb. Need to fix that. Let's just say you get some pretty good Patty Harrison coming. Pretty good Patty. All right. I Think You Should Leave season two. Episode guide, right? I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, season two, episode guide, episode. I'm also, just so you think I'm not dragging my feet, I'm also doing this for the benefit of anybody listening. if they've never seen the show, I want to give them a couple to jump in on. And that's the two I'm going to give you. Season two.
Don't pathologize me. I did not think you were dragging your feet.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'm looking at the thumbnails for Too Hot to Handle, which this season's not very. Or Love is Blind. That is sure a show that
I can't do this.
You're not missing anything, but I.
Yeah. I mean, I try. I mean, like we watched the first season of The Circle, and I think that was kind of fun. But like, I just can't watch reality shows about nominally romantic relationships. It's so depressing to me. Just to me, that's just how I am. I'm not trying to big time you here.
I fully expect one day there to be some labor movement around the Bachelor Nation, because I'm like, are these people really being paid enough? This mm-hmm. does seem like forget all the like fakeness or whatever. I'm like, what's going on here? Which is why I enjoy them from the like meta level of watching things like what's it called? Oh, Too Hot to Handle, where they've got those PTZ cameras everywhere, you know, that like constant. Oh, they're in the Circle too, the ones that like follow people and they're wearing a lav literally on a necklace. And it's like, because they need to turn around these episodes so quickly and because they need to create a false narrative, which is all how all reality shows are, and we have all like accepted. I'm glad that like we've accepted that and it's even like acknowledged in the show, but Too Hot to Handle does it so poorly. Like,
oh, no.
If anybody wants a it's so bad, like where they use a reaction shot that's clearly a shot from like when it was like, all right, we're about to roll, and so everyone's just got that dumb blank look on their face, and they try to use it as like, ooh, that angry face.
Yeah, but then in context, yeah, there's a name for that in psychology, where like the thing where you show somebody a face and it means different things depending on context. Okay, I've got it. So. If you can't watch the whole season, watch it straight through in order, just because it's good. But if you only have time for two, you and the listeners, this is on Netflix. I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. Watch episode two. I love the titles of these episodes. Episode two, they have a cake shop there, Susan, where the cakes just look stunning, is the name of the episode.
That's the name of the...
Yeah. And you got to watch episode six, I Need a Wet Paper Towel. they've all got great stuff in them.
Oh God, I am excited. Mm. All right, you
is that okay?
Go eat. Yes, absolutely.
All right, put it in the doc. I Think You Should Leave. SDATE. And today is the 23rd, which makes that plus 7 the 30th. 2:30. Nope. It doesn't have 30. So that's going to make
second. No.
2-2, that's not right, 3-2.
3-2, or as you do,
2022-03-02.
Sorry, 03.
All right, I'm going to eat.
I'm going to go look at pictures of your late great mother-in-law, because she's very hot.
Yeah, she's super fuckable.
Yeah, there we go, thank you.
Sorry, Steven, didn't mean to make you jealous.
No.